people up here that we can share our lives with the community, with your church, and actually leaders and guide us, Lord. I pray so much for all you're doing in our lives, that you continue to transform us to be more like you, more like Jesus, Lord. I pray for that, and help us to wrestle with your word. Help us to be transformed by your word. Thank you for your mercy and grace on life. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. So obviously, as you guys heard, it's a bit of a different service. Before we start, I think we need to do this so we can understand gratitude. In just one little moment, we're going to be very practical as well. You guys will be participating in the service. The first thing I want you guys to do is look to the person next to you or around you and say, I am grateful for you. Say it. Okay. Amen. Okay. So, before we get started with the points, I want to just introduce the panel. You might know people, you might know me, but I want us to make sure we know who we are, who's speaking to you guys this morning. So, who are we? So, I'm going to start with Jade and go along. So, I want you to say your name and a bit about yourself and your profession. So, go along. Okay, let's get a mark. Let's get a mark there quickly. Go along. Your name and something about your profession.
Profession, sorry.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jade. My profession's a bit unique, but I've always been in sales, marketing. FMCG is the main business, and then I run a marketing agency. So anything sales, marketing, I'm amped by.
I am Shelly, and this is my husband. Just kidding. This is what.
Shelly. Yeah. What do you do?
And I'm an occupational therapist, and I work in the rehab unit with patients who have had strokes or spinal cord injuries.
Good morning. My name is Ongeziwe Pakis. I'm an attorney by profession. I specialize in commercial litigation. So that's any dispute arising out of contracts. So it's interpreting, enforcing, and drafting contracts.
Good morning, everyone. I am Nomfundo Pakis. Now, I'm also an occupational therapist, but more in the mental health side. I work in psych units and in drug and alcohol rehab centers.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Marizel van Rensburg. I am a homeopath. For those of you who don't know, it's natural holistic medicine, and I have a great interest in gut microbial health and mental health.
Oh. Okay, I guess it's my turn. So I am a teacher. I'll say it. I'm a math teacher. Sorry for the teens and the preteens. I teach high school math at a high school, so that's my job. My name is Andrew van Rensburg. Yeah, so I'll be leading and emceeing this panel discussion. Hopefully you guys can take away some lessons this morning. So go to the next slide. I was meant to take some pictures of. That's the Barters.
Right.
And that's Puckies. And that's us, ourselves, and just to see who we are. Okay. So the theme is gratitude, and I think we shared the scripture last week, and I'll read again. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's an amazing scripture Lois shared last week on gratitude, but I think, I don't know about you guys, but it's very challenging. And this morning, we really just want to share our wrestle with that. It says, rejoice always. Do we always rejoice always? Are we always going to have a rejoiceful moment? Unfortunately not. So that's a calling that we have to wrestle with God's word. Pray continually. If we're real with ourselves, it's really hard to pray continually. It's hard to get to that state. We're putting everything before God. We're laying everything before his feet. And give thanks in some circumstances. It says all circumstances. So I think this, I want to share that wrestle that we have as a group, as a community, with the scripture and see how we wrestle with it. Not just reading it, but putting it into practice in our lives. And obviously we haven't done it perfectly. We're still learning, and we all learn as a community. So I think just want to, that's the core scripture I want to share and we're thinking of this morning as we go. If we go to the next slide. And that leads to the main three points this morning. And each couple will be focusing on those points. So the Barters, Jay and Shelly will be looking at our walk with God this morning. So the wrestle with walking with God and some questions along those lines. Onge and Mfondo will be sharing God's gratitude in our community, being grateful for our walk with God and grateful for our community. And obviously, Marizel will be sharing about gratitude and waiting. What do we do in those waiting spaces? Because we all wait for something. And I think she's going to share a bit of elaborate her wrestle with God in that space. So we're going to start with JD. So Jade, the Bible calls us to be thankful not only for the big moments, but in the small moments, daily, in our daily walk, in our faith. What does gratitude look like in your everyday journey with God? Is there a time when walking closely with Him deepen your sense of thankfulness? No? Yeah. You can come up and share that. That question, looking at
what we've got. Oh, I use this mic. Got it. Cool. I'll start with the scripture to answer kind of my part. Either it'll come up, otherwise I'll just share it. Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. So it reads, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." So obviously a challenging one, I think, to walk continuously with this gratitude, to hold on to this thankfulness almost seems fake. And so I was wrestling with, man, I'm not always thankful. There's a lot that I'm not thankful for, grateful for this year, or a lot of pain, hurt, or suffering. So like anything, I asked ChatGPT how or what overflowing with thankfulness means. And it said, "Your heart is so full of gratitude to God that it influences everything. Your attitude, your words, your choices, and the way you treat others." My job this year, I lie, for the past 3 years has been terrible. Toxic culture, exhausting, treated terribly, and I've been praying, hoping, trusting, doing. I built a marketing agency, as I said, for the last 2.5 years to find something that fills me, to find something that's in line with like my passions and what brings me joy. Family hurts, family pain this year, losing loved ones, church being discouraging, our family shrinking here, not feeling full or filled, I think in general. That's kind of my year. So again, to answer what Drew's asking me is super challenging. To say, man, how, if I look at this year, do I walk with thankfulness? Do I walk with a gratitude in my heart that, man, God, you with me, you providing, you've got direction. When I've seen none of it, I've felt immense pain, hurt, suffering, and it's just one day at a time. And here's the conclusion. I don't know if it's a answer, but it's what I've felt. And I think it goes back to the quote I read, "Your heart is so full of gratitude to God that it influences everything. Your attitude, words, choices, and the way you treat others." And I think the focus is, for me at least, and maybe all of us, gratitude feels like it should be an emotion. It should feel like, man, I don't know, I collected a brand new Porsche today. I mean, how will you not be grateful? But I think the perception's wrong. I think, like it is here, it's an attitude and an action. And it's how we go back to God in these things. It's how we see God in life, in these things. And it's a hard action. It's a hard decision to say, man, all of this is going on, but I'm going to trust, run to, and see where God is providing. For me, that gratitude has been in His endless pursuit of me. I'm not the greatest human this year in my prayer life with God, in the way I treat Him and who I've been and my character. There's a lot of ugliness, And yet God still wants me. I felt pursued, fought for, loved, favored, despite, man, I'm not ticking all the boxes or doing what I feel God deserves. In his creation, I think if we look in nature, if we look at the trees, if we look at the sky, for me, it's a quick, easy way to be like, man, I'm grateful. I can choose to be grateful today because I've been put in this creation. Like, what an insane blessing that I have skills, that I can run, that I can work, that I can think, whatever it may be, there's something to be grateful for. Oh, for me, big one, and I'm being 100% genuine, is cars. Mm-hmm. And Friday, there was an Audi R8 in front of me, really going for it. And I was trying to film, probably not good while driving, but I was doing it anyway because I love it. But the sound of the car for me, the look of it, the drive, it's like, man, God created this. He allowed humans to experience and see and somehow create fuel and ignition and this. And this car is moving at insane speeds. But it's, again, comes back to gratitude for what he's created and everything in life. Then I think love, grace, hope, seemingly the cliche ones, but the ones really that I can have hope. That although days are bad, life sucks, I can forget it, and there's a new day, there's a new moment, there's a time now we can think, man, what can I have the attitude or what action can I take to be grateful for what God is doing in my life? So I think it's a work in progress for all of us, and God is patient enough to give us signs. It might take decades, it might take a week, it might take our whole lives, but I think continuously hoping, fighting, choosing to have the attitude of, man, I'm going to look for where God is working, despite it looking like he isn't. So hopefully that answers a bit, Drew.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thank you, Jay. I think just the takeaway was just like, okay, find things you're grateful for, like a car. What are you grateful for? What are the things that revive you and wake you up when you see God's gifts that he's given to us. Amen. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate that. Shelley, you're next. Yeah. Hope you can answer this question. how are you thankful within the season that you're in, and how do you connect with God? Okay.
So the main season that I'm in at the moment is the season of toddlerhood and parenting a toddler. I am incredibly grateful to have become a mom. It's definitely been the greatest gift of my whole life. I've absolutely loved it. But I have been incredibly overwhelmed. I don't feel as though I transitioned into the role of motherhood as naturally as I've felt other women have. I've definitely relied immensely on people around me. And yeah, I don't feel like it's come to me naturally. Especially in the aspect of my relationship with God whilst being a mom. Gone are the days of waking up in the quiet and stillness and having coffee with God, and that's the start of my day. And because now those times are very few and far between, and I mean, like, maybe I could count three in the past 16 months, it's been rough. Because they're so few and far between, I've equated that to distance from God and almost like he's disappointed in me. But I feel like within this season, he's opened my eyes to a new depth in the way he's designed us and in the way he's designed our relationship with him. And so the scripture on my heart this morning is Matthew 18 verses 3. And it says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And now there's a lot to this. I'm not going to, Lowe's sitting right there and he's a teacher. So I'm just going to share what's on my heart with this scripture, but I'm sure there's a lot to it. But in order to explain this, I just want to show a video of our son. I'll take any opportunity to show off our boy. But you can watch this and then I'll explain the lesson that I've learned.
Baby! Wow, buddy! Cheers! Cheers!
Deep? What you doing? What you doing with the screwdriver? Oh, clever boy. Katie? Hazy, what you doing? Oh, I like your technique there, buddy.
That's delicious.
There's no lesson. I just wanted to show. No, I'm joking. There's a lesson. Yeah, my lesson is just, like I was saying, through watching our boy, God really has opened my eyes to a whole new depth of understanding of the way he intended our relationship with him. And Hayes is only 16 months old, but every day he is resembling Jade and I more and more. And I don't just mean in appearance, even though some people say he looks exactly like his dad. I don't really see it, but but I mean in character and in action. And the only reason this is happening is because he wants to be around us all day, every day. He wants to be with us doing exactly what we're doing. And naturally, the result is he is modeling and imitating everything that we're doing, and he's becoming just like us. And I think it's just such an awesome lesson for us to be just like children are with their parents. We need to be that way with God, who is our parent. We need to have the heart of wanting to be with God all day, every day. We need to have the same joy and wonder at the everyday, seemingly mundane things like putting on deodorant, because God really is in all of it. Yeah, we need to always have the heart of wanting to be a part of whatever he is doing, of always looking for him and finding him in everything and everywhere. And that way we will naturally be walking our everyday with him and naturally start to resemble him as our parent and our father. And so that is what I'm grateful for in this season, that God has shown me he's not only in stillness and quiet, but also in busyness and chaos, which I'm sure will only increase when there's more kids. So I'm sure the parents sitting here with more than one child is like, she doesn't even know. But for me, this is chaos. Yeah.
Yeah, a video you can watch like 500 times and you will not get tired of it. Thank you, Shelly, for sharing that and just sharing the way we can imitate God, the way Hayes does. He's imitating their parents. And we are children of God, and we can imitate him and learn to imitate him. It's a beautiful analogy you can share with us. Thank you so much. That's kind of the point in looking at our walks with God. So let's imitate. Let's go to God. Let's see what we're grateful for in that space. The next conversation is our church, our community. I must say, before we get into the questions, I'll say the Puckies, for me, are an amazing example of being part of the community, part of the family. So that's why I want to ask them, what can we learn from them about being in community? And Onge, specifically, I find is amazing with one-on-one relationships. Just being there, not saying anything necessarily, but just being there for people around them. So Onge, as we go to the next slide, on community. One-on-one connections can be life-changing. Can you share why these personal relationships matter to you and how they have strengthened your gratitude and walk with God? Come up and share about that, please. Thank you. Let's go on,
thanks, Drew. Morning, everyone. So Drew, I'll give you a brief answer since I've donated most of my time to the rest of the panel. Yeah, but so these relationships are particularly important to me. Being an introvert, I don't do well in group settings. So I tend to do well in one-on-one settings because then I can be authentic. So I think just maybe to give you a brief background into why I find these relationships so important is, so career-wise, I finished varsity, I got a job at one of the top five firms in KZN. I then moved on to one of the biggest banks in Africa. But then circumstances would have it, I had to then resign and open up my own law firm, which is where I currently am right now. So it hasn't been easy. It's been tough. But I remember a brief conversation that I did not expect, but I had with Umam Zamo. So I was busy and then quiet. And I didn't even think she would realize that when I'm not busy, I then get frustrated. And then I forget to see everything that has been happening and everything that I've done and all the work and the clients that I've received. So it was a simple conversation of your firm has been received well. You've got a lot of clients. Just be grateful and just see God in that. And I can see that you're frustrated right now, but just look back and see how blessed you have been. So yeah, I walked away from that conversation, not feeling grateful and not seeing the blessing she's talking about at the moment, but I did feel seen in that moment. And that was enough to take me out of that despair and open my eyes. And then later, reflecting on that conversation, I then began to see the blessings and what I should be grateful for. So yeah, with these one-on-one relationships, they're not only between friends, they can also be between parents, like mother, son, father, son, daughter. And yeah, I think with that as well, I have to mention Jade, where, again, where you get to live life with someone so much that even their wins become your wins. I might not be doing great right now, but I've been so involved in Jade's journey. Even getting a new car is like a win for me. I get excited as well. Mm-hmm. Whatever step he takes, I also get excited. So yeah, these relationships are important because then we see a lot of God through the people we're with and the people we experience life with. Mm-hmm. And even the people we don't think actually see our struggles, but because they're there in our lives, they see and they act, they get prompted to act, and then they bring us out of our despair. Yeah, so the scripture that I just want to leave us with is in Ecclesiastes 4:9-10, where it says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Which would have been the case with me. I would have been in despair and I wouldn't have been motivated to get up, continue working, continue pushing if it wasn't for the relationship that I have and the people in my life.
Cool. Thank you, Onge. I think I'm so encouraged by that. Just the way that you've been a friend to me as well, and Jade, and to all of us. And you continue to do one relationship so well. Mpundo, you're next. Here we go. I think I must say for you guys, it's a hectic time just to be the way that you long to be with community was so encouraging to me when I see, okay, they can't wait to get back to church because if you don't know, they've had their second child, second daughter. First daughter, second child. Amen. But I think just the way that they long to be part of the community. I know we went to go visit them, and they're like, okay, please come. We need more people. We want people to come in our homes to encourage us. Because she knows what it means to be alone. And she understands that. We understand if we're alone, it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to be alone. We're here to be part of the community. So I think I'm so encouraged the way that you long for community. So Mfondo,
Caring for a newborn is a beautiful but demanding season. You've shared how you long deeply for church community during that time. Can you tell us what God showed you in that season, how gratitude formed in your heart as community supported you? Amen. Thank you, Nfundo.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Drew, for that question. I think motherhood is a beautiful journey, mostly chaotic, like Shelley has shared. It is a bit of an extreme sport. Having a three-year-old and having a newborn in the same household. On the one hand, you're trying to recover from your own pains of childbirth, and the three-year-old is like, Mom, come, let's race, let's pillow fight, let's jump around, and you just have enough strength just to get through the day. And so you do need a lot of help, as much as Dad is there as well, but he's also exhausted. When I'm up at night, it disturbs him. When the baby's crying, it disturbs him. And it's a lot. And so when you are isolated from the family, I think that's when you notice more how much you need the people around you. Yes, we have immediate family, we have friends, but there's a huge space for family, as in you guys, sitting in these chairs. So in Galatians 6 verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You know, and I'm like, how does carrying each other's burdens fulfill the law of Christ? And I've come to understand that the law of Christ is loving one another, that new commandment that he gave us, loving one another as he loved us. And the way he loved was sacrificial. It was loyal. He is faithful, you know. And it's hard to love each other as humans because we are different. We are dynamic. We get into each other's wrong sides, you know. But this commandment, I got to experience such a beautiful part of it, being taken care of by you guys, the messages that you had sent, you coming over and cuddling the baby while I take a quick nap, the snacks and the food that you brought for us, it just warmed our household. Even the flat that we live in, everyone knows that there's a newborn and people come and check in. Are you guys okay? Do we can babysit and things like that. So you can send a little message and think that it's nothing, but it means so much for a new mom that is going through this. And as I reflected, I'm like, what a blessing that I will forever have this family, even if my immediate family passes away. As long as there's people here, I'll never be alone, you know. Even if I go, I know my children are taken care of. We were sitting now on stage and we don't know where BK is. And we saw Lloyd and he's like, we're like, okay, great, thank you, you know. And so, yeah, I am super grateful for that. And I think this is something that everyone needs, you know. You go to work and people don't have people like us. I think we take it for granted when we have it all the time, you know. These people struggle alone. In our flat, there's a lady that almost passed away because she has no one. I'm like, how do you have no one in your life? We don't know how long she was lying unconscious on her bed. She eventually passed away. But I'm like, I'm so grateful that I know for a fact that I'll never experience that. One day without communication, the house will be flooded. Where are you? Are you okay? You know, and so I want to be that person to you guys. I think I missed many opportunities with people who had newborns, and because I never understood it, you know, I'll see the kid when it's a toddler before I had my own kid, but there's such a special connection that you get with people that love your children because it comes as direct love to you. And so just like how God loves his children, when we love each other, it's direct love to God. And so I would encourage us to continue loving each other, continue nurturing this family, no matter how small or how big it is, no matter how much hurt we've experienced, you know, it's part of life, it's part of family. And learning to mend those relationships is so important because we need each other on every level. So yeah, thanks, Drew.
Last but certainly not least, my wife will be sharing. The next slide, I think. What do we do when we wait? How do we be grateful when we're waiting on God? I think Marisol's going to share a bit about that. So Marisol, my love, what has God taught you about gratitude in these times of waiting? How has he shaped your heart through his timing and his faithfulness? Can you share, love?
Morning, church. It's incredible to listen to all my friends and hear the stories that they share after, you know, we've been with them in the struggle when it was real. And it's incredible to see what God teaches us in it. And one thing that I just want to get straight even before I start is that I'm not qualified. We are not qualified. We don't have it figured out. And we're still struggling. So when we were tasked to do this, I'm like, really, is there no one else better to do this? But I feel like that is so real, you know. I think God does call us to be grateful in every circumstance. And even just having the opportunity to share with you guys like this helps us to reflect and to see God's goodness. And it helps us in our own journey. I was tasked with waiting, and I thought it was very unfair because my husband knows my deepest self, and now he wants me to expose myself to the whole church. Waiting for me has been very hard, and I know it's hard for everyone, but I've been in a season of waiting, whether it's waiting for career, waiting to grow your family, waiting in, you know, your friends or family to come to faith, the things, your goals and dreams in life that just doesn't seem to be fulfilled. It's always hard. I have three main points to share. I'll try and be quick. But firstly, if you know me, you know I'm very emotional. When I'm happy, I cry. When I'm sad, I cry. When I'm angry, I cry. So Andrew and I, we have our conversations through all the tears because there won't be a time where there's no tears. But one thing I've learned is that I can go to God and I can share my true feelings with him. I just want to quickly, before I get to my main scripture, I want to read Proverbs 16 verse 32. It says, "Better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city." And I just feel like, wow, I don't need to be a warrior. You know, I don't need to have it all figured out. And then my feelings doesn't shock God. You know, I can go to him in anger, with sadness, with disappointment and frustration, with my impatience. I can go to him. You know, I can share my feelings because it's in sharing my feelings that it leads me to gratitude. Because I'm an emotional person, I need to work through that emotions to see what God sees. You know, so if I need to ugly cry, if I need to shout at God, if I need to plead to him, I need to do it. Because that is part of the process that gets me to gratitude, you know. To get it all out. And I've learned that I shouldn't stop going to him with whatever's going on in my heart. Secondly, I've learned that I need to submit. This is a very hard one. I'm still working on. In Isaiah 40, I read very recently in preparation for this, and I was crying again, but that's normal. But Isaiah 40, speaking about this God, creator of the universe, and how incredibly big and almighty he is, you know, that he created the heavens and he measures the heavens with the width of his hand. And if you think about the heavens, scientists now know that it's ever expanding. So that's how big our God is. But then that you see in verse 13, this really knocked me. It says, "Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his own counselor?" And I thought, yo, How many times haven't I gone to God and said, this is what you're supposed to be doing? You know, why aren't you doing this, Lord? This is the way that it's supposed to be. You're not doing the things that you should be doing. And then realizing this is the God, having that frame of mind, this is the God that measures the universe with the width of his hand. How can I be the one to tell him what to do or how to do it? You know, he's king.
Yeah.
And I submit to him. But what is so encouraging in that, because submission is hard, but, you know, in Isaiah 40, it finishes with God being so loving and so compassionate that he, being king, he, being ruler, decides to bend down and help. That he gives us strength, that he gives us everything we need for that time and that moment. Even changing the situation. But whether he changes it or not, he still strengthens us. And he chooses to love us. And he has compassion with us. You know, in this struggle with God of waiting, I've learned, I myself only got a phone when I was 12 years old. My patients, my parents decided that 12 is a good age to start introducing me to phones. And that time I was still playing Snake on a flip Nokia, you know. So, but I remember getting all my friends getting their phones long before I did. And I had to wait. And I would fight with my parents and I wasn't happy about it, you know. But now that I'm an adult, I'm so grateful for my parents in doing that. And God reminded me of this. He said, I'm the parent. I'll tell you when you get a phone. I'm like, oh, okay, God. I see that even though waiting is hard and submission is hard, that there still is goodness in the waiting, even if I can't see it, you know? My last point is that I've learned to focus on him. That brings me to Lamentations 3, verse 25 and 26. It says, the Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And I've learned that I need to seek him, because in times when I don't seek him, I'm not grateful at all. And I get to my deep pit and I get a shovel and I keep digging, you know? So I need to seek him. Every day will have its own trouble, you know? Take that day and take it to God. It's so easy to get wrapped up in this world and especially the situation that you're in that you don't want to be in. Where you're still not where you want yourself or others to be, you know? But when I focus on God, his character, his love and his compassion for me, it makes the world and the situation a little bit less scary. Changes my focus. And also very recently had a quiet time with God where I drew a picture of me waiting at a bus stop. And at the bus stop, here I am waiting for the bus to arrive. And behind me are all the posters. You know how sometimes there's posters at bus stops? At this one there is. About all my goals and dreams and where I want to go and that the advertising, oh, get there, you know. But I'm still waiting here for the bus to take me there. And then just in my drawing, I have this little blob and that's symbolized God. And here I am crying because the bus is not coming and I'm anxious and frustrated and looking at the time, and then God is there with me, consoling me, you know. So I've learned that in the waiting, I don't need to be alone. That yes, I have my community and they've supported me so much through it. And I have my wonderful husband and my family, but I have him most of all. And he's the only one that truly understands my heart. Yeah, and so I've learned in times of waiting that when I don't have what I want, to be grateful what God has currently blessed me with, and to be grateful for God's character himself. I have more than I need when I have those things. And when I'm not grateful in a situation, I can always be grateful for God's love, his compassion, his mercy, his provision. And then I realize there's so much to be grateful for. And when I've shared all my tears and frustration, and when I rightly see that I need to submit to God, and when I remember God's love for me, that's when gratitude finds me. I realize that God's love is so much. You know, he wouldn't even spare his only son for me. How much more would he not give to me? And I know that my God wants me to have hope for my future. And I need to realize that he is for me and not against me. And that there is goodness in the waiting. Even if I can't see it, there's a lot to be grateful for. He has given us such a great hope because of what he bore on the cross for us. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
It's working. Yeah, okay.
Amen. Another round of applause for everyone that's shared. I'm really grateful for you guys and the way that you guys shared so vulnerably and so deeply. At this time, obviously, Marizel was sharing about waiting, but we're waiting for God. We're all waiting. And we have that hope in him, hope of resurrection. He's raised to life. One day, we will have that same hope one day. And we're going to do something a bit different this morning when it comes to communion. So if you go to the communion, next slide. We're doing something called Dayenu. So it was a traditional Passover way of showing it would have been enough. Being grateful for God. Us being grateful for God. And they would have done that with Jesus when they had took the Lord's Supper and got around the table and think, what are we grateful for? And what I'm going to be sharing this morning is an adaptation of Dayenu, of what we're grateful for him now. It might have been not done 2,000 years ago, but it might have been slightly different, but the general idea of Dayenu, which means, what does it mean? It would have been enough. So you guys see the yellow text there? When we read the yellow text, you guys can respond to that. So it would have been enough. Let's practice that. On my go, 1, 2, 3. We'll try again. Okay, one more time. Okay, 1, 2, 3. That's enough. Thank you, guys. Cool. So, myself and Marizel are going to be doing that. I'm going to start off, and then there will be a statement about God, who he is. And if you want the document and want to do it yourself at a Passover meal, for practical sake, Marizel's going to read the whole thing, because you can do it around the table if you wanted to as well. I'll start then and go from there. Most holy God, maker of heaven and earth, so bountiful is your steadfast love, and just a little of your glory is more than enough.
If you had just poured out your love in creation, if you had revealed yourself through creation, but not made covenant with us, if you had made covenant with us and not entered into relationship with us, if you had just been in relationship with us and not fussed over us when we strayed, if you had called us to accountability when we strayed and not delivered us from bondage, if you had delivered us from slavery and not led us into the land of freedom, if you had led us into the land of freedom and not sent holy men and women to teach us your way,
it would have been enough.
If you had sent us prophets to speak of your love and not sent us a savior,
it would have been enough.
If you had sent us a savior and not taken humanity onto yourself,
it would have been enough.
If you had taken humanity onto yourself and not given us resurrection victory.
It would have been enough.
If you had conquered the power of sin, but not given us the gift of your Holy Spirit.
It would have been enough.
If you had given us the gift of your Holy Spirit, but not called us to participate in your work of redeeming and blessing the world.
But as it is, most gracious God, you have given us more than abundantly lavished your goodness upon us. In Christ Jesus, you revealed the fullness of your love. His whole life, death, and resurrection testify to the depth of your compassion. Therefore, we bless you. We thank you. We praise you, for you alone are worthy of our worship. To you and to the Christ, and to the Christ and the Holy Spirit be all honor, glory, and dominion, now and forever. And we all say, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys.